Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Hey Amud Aleph by the two dots. Just to review, we're discussing here the machloket between Rava and Abaye, where Abaye says that anything the Torah tells you that you cannot do, even though the Torah says you can't do it, you can do it. It will be effective, but you're going to be punished for that. That's why you're getting punished, because you did something against what the Torah said. Rava says, if the Torah tells you you can't do it, the Torah has taken away your ability to do such a thing, and your action will not be efficacious. Nevertheless, you'll get malkot because you didn't listen to what the Torah said. So the Gemara now is beginning a series of questions from different halachot that we're going to find throughout Shas, which either disprove or prove each one of these two positions. And the Gemara is going to go back and forth, asking questions both on Rava and on Abaye. And we're going to see throughout the sugya today that the answer given by both of them in each instance is that there's something that the Torah says, or in essence, in each of the exceptions to the rule, there's a gzeirat ha-katuv that indicates otherwise, which is according to Abaye, the rule is that, in general, your actions will be efficacious, but there's sometimes where the Torah takes away your ability to do such, or forfeits your ability to carry out that action, and therefore, it's lo mahani. On the other hand, for Rava, in general, or the default situation is that whatever you do does not work, but sometimes the Torah tells you that it works anyway, and so when the Torah tells you that, that's going to be the exception to the rule, and that's basically going to be the flow of the Gemara throughout today's daf, which will lead us to, in tomorrow's daf, the question the Gemara is going to ask in the end, which is, what are they arguing about? What are Abaye and Rava arguing about in the end? Everything's determined by Psukim, whether it's Mahani or Lo Mahani. Then, what's the Machloka between them? It seems to be everything's a Zera Takatuf, and so therefore we're going to have to plumb the question as to what is their fundamental Machloka, but we'll leave that for tomorrow. We left off yesterday discussing the issue of anes, someone who is a rapist, where the Torah tells us in Parshat Ki Tetzeh that the person who rapes the woman, v'natan ha'ish ha'shochev imah l'avi ha'na'ara chamishim kosef, v'lo tiyeh lo l'isha tachad asher ina lo yuchol shalcha kol yamav. That's the pasuk that we brought yesterday. In the first lashon, which we read yesterday, we're going to read a second lashon today, we brought that as a proof to Abaye's position, and a problem for Rava. And that is the assumption in the questioner's mind is the fact that the pasuk tells you below that you're not able to send her away for the entirety of your life. Or in essence, what the Torah is telling you is that it doesn't work. You try to send her away and it still doesn't work because you're unable to do such a thing. Since you're unable to do such a thing, that's why, according to Abaye, there's no malkot in this case, because your action was not efficacious. The Torah forfeited your right to that action. And because you have the necessity or the requirement to return the woman, and the reason being because your gerushin were not effective, therefore, according to Abaye, you didn't do anything wrong. If you didn't do anything wrong, then you don't have to get malkot for it. The question was on Rava. According to Rava, who says that you don't need to have an effective action in order to get malkot, as long as you've done something that the Torah says you shouldn't be doing, like for instance in this case, where it's telling you not to divorce the woman, and you still did it, even though your action's not efficacious, you should still get malkot, because you violated the word of the Torah. So why is it that you don't get malkot over here? So Rava's answer to that question was that you have the pasuk of Kol Yamav, and Kol Yamav teaches you that there is a lav, but the lav has only violated it if you send her away forever. Kol Yamav. And so Kol Yamav teaches you that their lav is not a limited lav to a single moment in time, but rather it's a lav that extends over a large period of time, and that means that you're not in violation of the lav, and that's why you're not going to get malkot. But then Abaye, we have to ask, what is the Kol Yamav adding for us here? So the Kol Yamav for Abaye teaches us that there is no option to say, listen, you have a requirement to marry her, and you're not supposed to divorce her. If you do divorce her, then you'll get malkot, and you would be able to do that. Kol Yamav comes to teach you that that option has been forfeited from you. You don't have the option to do and have an effective gerushin and get malkot. The only option you have is to keep her, and that's because the gerushin are not effective, because it's lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. You can't send her away forever. So now, according to this view, or the summation of what we just said over here, that the Kol Yamav, according to Abaye, is referencing or qualifying v'lo tiyeh l'isha. If he divorces her, he still has to take her back. That's what Kol Yamav teaches you. Lotia Leisha, Kol Yamav, for the entirety of his life, he doesn't have the right or the option to do the Gerushin. For Rova, the Kol Yamav is modifying Lo Yuchal Shalcha Kol Yamav, that he can't send her away for the entirety of his life, and therefore the Isur of Lotia Leisha is only if you violate Lo Yuchal Shalcha Kol Yamav. So until you do that, you're not in violation of the Lav, and that's why you're not going to get Malkot, even though your Gerushin was ineffective and you did something against the Torah. The Torah gives you a much longer tail to that Isur, to that Lav. And therefore, according to both of them, you will not get Malkot for the case of Me'anes if he divorces her. According to Abaye, the reason you're not getting Malkot is because your action was not effective. The Gerushin are not effective. According to Rova, the reason you're not getting Malkot is because you didn't violate the Lav. The Lav is Kol Yamav, and therefore you were not Shalcha Kol Yamav, and therefore you will not get Malkot. Now, had the Torah not written Kol Yamav, according to Rova, you would have ended up with Malkot, because the Kol Yamav teaches you that the Lav has an extended tail to it, and therefore the tail makes it that you're not in violation of the Lav. But if you had not written Kol Yamav, then your Gerushin would not have been effective because you can't go against the Torah, but you're going to get Malkot because Rava says that you violated the Lav. According to Abaye, had the Torah not written Kol Yamav and you divorce her, then you will get Malkot, just like by Rava who said you get Malkot, but here for a different reason, because your Gerushin are effective in that case. And therefore you violated the Lav of being divorcing her because your Gerushin were effective and you were able to send her away. So that's a summary of what we saw until now. Now we're going to take that same Gemara and flip it on its head and make it a question on Abaye, which is Lishna Achrina. Meiteve Ones Shigiresh, a rapist that divorces his wife who he's supposed to keep as a wife for the remainder of his life. Im Yisrael Hu, if he is Yisrael, Machzir, he takes her back, Vein Loke, and you don't get Malkot. Vim Kohen Hu, if he is a Kohen, Loke, he does get Malkot, Vein Machzir, and he can't be Machzir. That we spent time on yesterday as to why the Kohen has a problem, primarily because he's not allowed to take back a Grusha, and therefore his inability to take back the Grusha, he can't rectify the problem over here. Now, Tani Miat, you see from here, Im Yisrael Hu, Machzir. If he's a Yisrael, he takes her back. Chiyuvta de Abaye. This seems to be a problem or a strong refutation of Abaye's position, because our assumption here is the reason you have to take her back is because your Gerushin were ineffective. And so that's the question on Abaye. Why were the Gerushin ineffective over here? Abaye says you can do something against the Torah. It will be effective. You're just going to pay the price for it. So why is it over here that he has to take her back, implying that the Gerushin were ineffective over here? My answer is, Shani Otam, Derachman Amar Kol Yamav. That's the Kol Yamav. Kol Yamav, Bamod, Vechzir. So that's the same limud that we saw before, that Kol Yamav is an indication that there's not just Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha and Lo Tiyel Isha, which is one point in time he has to marry her, and Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha is also one point in time. But rather, the Lo Tiyel Isha is modified by Kol Yamav. That means that there's still a requirement that she be his wife even after he divorces her. So even if he does divorce her, nevertheless, he still has to take her back. And that indicates, or that shows, that the Gerushin are basically ineffective. And so that's why you're not going to get Malkot, according to Abaye, because the Torah says that she has to be his wife forever. Forever means both before the divorce and after the divorce. Well, if she has to be his wife after the divorce, that means that the divorce wasn't effective. And that's why you're not going to get Malkot, according to Abaye, but that's also why the Gerushin are not effective. This is an exception. Normally it would be effective, but here the Torah took away the effectiveness of the Gerushin. Virava, Amar Lacha. Now, Rava, the question obviously is, what does he need Kol Yamav for? According to him, this works perfectly. The Gerushin are ineffective. So why do you need the Kol Yamav? Because Ilo Katav Rachmana Kol Yamav, Havamine Leuke, Velahader. Because had we not had Kol Yamav, we would have thought he didn't do Gerushin, because it was ineffective according to Rava. But nevertheless, you get Malkot, because you violated the Torah's principle of Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha. So now you violated a Lav. Even though it wasn't effective, that's Rova's Shita, and you would get Malkot. The Havalei, Lav Greda, because it's a simple Lav. Dichtiv, Lo Yuchal Shalcha, because it says you can't send her away. That's a simple Lav. You violated that Lav. And now you have to pay the price for that in the Malkot, even though you were not effective when you sent her away, because when you violate the Torah's law, you're not effective in your action. Ahachi Katav Kra, Kol Yamav. That's what the Kol Yamav comes to teach you. So Kol Yamav comes to teach you that it's really a lav hanitak the asay. This is differentiated. Tosafot we discussed yesterday at the end of yesterday's daf says that this is differentiated from the previous case. In the previous case, the Gemara never even assumed that it was a lav hanitak the asay. They just assumed, according to Rova, it was a lav with a very long tail, which is that lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. You can't divorce her forever. But that means if at any point in time you would take her back, then you didn't violate the lav. Until the person passes away, or the woman passes away, you're not in violation of that lav. That's what we thought yesterday. Now the Gemara is saying, no, that Kol Yamav is coming to teach you that it's a lo tasei, shenitak lasei, de'ein lokin alav. And therefore there's no malkot here according to Rava, because it's a lav anitak lasei, which is that the Kol Yamav is a requirement that he take her back even after he violates the lav. And even though technically the asay exists before he did the lav, he had to take her as a wife before he divorced her. Nevertheless, the kol yamav adds in this dimension that there's an additional asay even post the lav, or really as a result of the lav, which tells you that after you do the lav, there is a rectification in the fact that you can take her back, or you should take her back. And that's why it's a lav nitak asay according to Rava. You don't get Malkot. Tosfot asked that yesterday. Very good question. It's the first Tosfot on the Amud. You can look there. We discussed it yesterday, but he says there that the Gerushin has a Hekesh to Mitah that tells us that Gerushin is effective, at least in some way. Itkeish Gerushin to Mitah, Ma Mitah Motziya Mishuta Baal, Af Gerushin Motziya Mideya Baal. Because otherwise he says then there'd be a problem of Eishidish. There'll be a problem then. Why does the Kohen not take her back? It's not Makzir Grushato, but it wasn't effective. Right? So he says that at this point, the Gemara doesn't think it's a lav anitak de'asei, but the Gemara thinks that miyo lahachi lo mahani she'ain shiluach zeh l'chol yamav. So what does it mean, lo mahani? According to Rava, lo mahani means that you can't divorce her forever. So that's what's the lo mahani over here. You are able to divorce her for a temporary period of time, but you can't divorce her forever. So because the temporary divorce, it does not undermine the lav in the Torah, which is the lav to send her away forever. And now, just to summarize this piece, the reason that you have to take her back according to this second version in the Lishna Achrina, is because according to Rava, if you do the divorce, you aren't successful at divorcing her. Therefore, you have to be machzirit. According to Baye, the reason you have to take her back is because Kol Yamav. Kol Yamav teaches you that the divorce is never really effective because you always have to take her back. There's no effective divorce because Kol Yamav, Amod Vechzir. You have to take her back forever. Now, why did the Torah write Kol Yamav? According to Rava, that makes it into a lav hanitak le'asei, and therefore, because it's a lav hanitak le'asei, that's why you don't get makot. According to Abaye, the kol yamav is the obligation to take her back. That's why the gerushin were ineffective. That's why you have to take her back, and that's why you don't get makot, because the gerushin were never effective. You didn't do any maaseh because there's a demand that you take her back, and that demand makes it that lo hoyel ma'asav, and lo hoyel ma'asav, you don't get makot according to Abaye. And kol yamav, according to Rava, it's modifying Velotia Li'isha, that Velotia Isha Kol Yamav, she has to be married forever to him, and that's what makes it into a Lav Anitak Le'asei. And according to Abaye, it helps you that Velotia Li'isha Kol Yamav is that you're Kol Yamav Ramod Vechzer, that you have to return it. So that's a slight nuance difference. Here, Rava also agrees that Kol Yamav is modifying Velotia Li'isha, and had the Torah not written Kol Yamav, according to Rava, you get Malkot, because there's no Navani Takle Asay, and even though you were not effective in your Gerushin, nevertheless, you get a Malkot for that. And according to Abaye, had it not said Kol Yamav, then there would be no obligation to return her. If there's no obligation to return her, then your Gerushin were effective. If they were effective, you would get Malkot. That's the second explanation here. Rashi makes an interesting comment about the Lishna Achrina, which he says, Bach Lishna Havyahochi Kula Maskana Deshmaito. He says that the Lashon, or the second Lashon, he favors because it's like the Maskun of the Sugya. It's a very cryptic statement of Rashi. It could be that the fact that this Lashon ends up assuming that the Me'anes is a case of Lav Anitak Le'asei matches up what we saw in the Gemara yesterday, that the Gemara assumed that it was a Lav Anitak Le'asei. And that's why Rashi says I favor the second Lashon, because the second Lashon matches what we saw in the Gemara yesterday, that Me'anes is a case of Lav Anitak Le'asei. That could be what Rashi is saying. The other possibility of what Rashi is saying over here is that the second Lashon over here forms a structure by which we're going to see the remainder of the questions match up in terms of their structure. The first Lashon, as we noted, is almost the exact opposite of the second Lashon over here, in terms of its assumptions, in terms of who they're questioning over here. And what Rashi is saying is that the second Lashon is more of the pattern that we're going to see throughout the questions for the remainder of the Gemara, the Maskana of the Gemara, meaning the remainder of this Gemara over here, and therefore it makes more sense to follow the second Lashon versus the first Lashon. Right, that's just an interesting comment by Rashi over here. Alright, so now we're going to take a tour of Shas and go through all these different Mishnayot and different Braitot, different cases that are going to present problems for Rav and Abaye. Vare Torem min ha-ra'a al-yafa. The person takes off by Truma, takes off from the lower quality on the higher quality. Rechvanu Amar, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudchet in Parshat Korach, Lo tiso alav chet barimchem et chelbo mimenu, et kodshe b'nei Yisrael lo tuchalolo velo tamutu. So mikol chelbo, chelbo means the fat, or it means the best of. For chelbo in, diri in lo. You have to take off the best, not the worst. Vitznan, and we have a Mishnah in Trumot, Ein tormim min ha-ra'a ala yafa, like we just said, you're not allowed to take off the lower quality to be truma for a higher quality item. Vim taram, but if he did it, trumato, truma, then it works. Alma mahane, you see that it does work, and here it is going against the instructions of the Torah, and nevertheless, it works. Tiyufta de Rava, that's a strong refutation of Rava's position that when the Torah says you can't do it, you can't do it, and it's ineffective. Amar the Charava, Shani Hotam Kid the Rabbi Yilah. Over there it's different because of the memory of Rabbi Yilah. Damar Rabbi Yilah, Minayin the Torah, Minara, Al Yafash, Shetrumato, Truma. How do you know it's effective? How do you know that it works? Shinamar, because the beginning of the Pasuk says, Lo Tisu Alav Chet, Beharim Chem et Chelbo Mimenu, Et Kotshe Ben Yisrael, Lo Tuchalulu, Velo Tamutu. And he says, Im Eno Kadosh, Nisiat Chet, Lama. If there is no success in what you're doing, then why do you have a Nisiat Chet? Why is there any violation? Why is there any chait? If you were ineffective in what you did, then there's no chait. If you're effective in what you did, then there is a chait. So his basic premise is that the fact that Torah says, Loti salav chait, means that it's indicating that if you did do it, you would be successful, and that's why you would carry that chait, because you were successful. Mikan, the Torah min ara liyafa, shutrumato truma. From here you see that someone is Torah from the lower quality on the higher quality, from the bad stuff on the good stuff, then his truma is an effective truma. Tosafot asks over here, wait a minute, why would you explain Rabbi Yilah that way? According to Rabbah, that's exactly what Rabbah wants to say. Rabbi Yilah's question is, well, if it was ineffective, then why you say chait? That's exactly what Rabbah wants. Rabbah says, yes, it was ineffective, and that's why you don't say chait, because you went against the word of the Torah. So Tosafot says, I don't understand what Rabbi Yilah is doing. There's an nesiat chait because you violated the word of the Torah. So what's the question over here? So he brings from the Rosh Mishantz, Dahachi Perusho. You have to explain it this way. Imenu Kadosh, Nesiat Chet, Lamaktiv. Why do you need to specify in the Torah there's a Chet over here if it was unsuccessful? Meaning that Rava's classic default case is that the Torah tells you not to do something, and it's ineffective when you do that, and then you're Chayav because you violated the word of the Torah. Torah doesn't need to tell you that. Doesn't need to tell you there's a Chet. The chait is automatic, according to Rava, when you're ineffective. So that's the question, according to Rosh Mishantz, which is, why is the Torah specifying over here a nesiat chait? That additional statement of nesiat chait must be there's something else going on here that doesn't happen in other cases. And that is that it was effective, and that's why there's a nesiat chait over here, and that's what Rava says. I have a gzerat hakatuv over here that tells me that it is effective. Ula Abaye. According to Abaye, why do you need the additional nesiat chait? According to Abaye, by definition, when you violate a word of the Torah, it is effective, and so I don't need some specific pasuk to tell me that it's effective over here. So, ilav damar rachmana v'lo tiso lav chet hava mina. I would have thought, hachi amar rachmana, this is what the Torah said. Avid mitzvah mina mufchar, do the lachat chila is this way, v'lo avid chote lo mikre. If you don't do it, you're not a chote, you just didn't get the best mitzvah possible. The better way to do it, the chatchila way to do it, is to take off the good from the good, or the good from the bad. The bidiavad way to do it is to take off the bad from the good. So, yes, I have a primary or better way to do it, but if I don't do it, maybe it's not a violation, kamash malan, that it is actually a violation. There is a chait over here, because you didn't do what the Torah prescribed over here, despite the fact that it's effective. Nevertheless, the Torah didn't just say this lechatchila or the mitzvah min amufchar. It said it almost le'akev, in the sense that if you don't do this, you're going to be in violation. So now, the Gemara moves on to another concept in Truma, which is very min al she'enu mino. The fact that you can't take off from different species. Every species or every type of produce requires its own Truma to be taken off from it. So you can't mix apples and oranges. You have to take off from the apples by themselves and the oranges by themselves. That's true of any different form of produce. Damar Rachmana, because the Torah tells us with regards to the Truma that Kol Chelev Itzar V'Chol Chelev Tirosh V'Dagan Reshitam Eshet Nu Lashem L'Chad Netatim. So the fact that it specifies Chelev by these items tells you that Ten Chelev to each one of them separately. So that's what we have here. Kol Chelev Itzar Ten Chelev Lazeh V'Chelev Lazeh. So each one of them specifies a chelev to tell you that each one has its own category, its own series of truma. V'tnan, and we have a mishnah, ein tormim mimin al she'enu mino, v'imtaram ein trumato truma. You're not allowed to take off from a species on another species, and it doesn't work. Meaning as opposed to before, where you do from the bad on the good, where it's not allowed, but it's effective, here it's just the opposite. Here, you're not allowed to mix species or produce. And if you do mix them, it's ineffective. It doesn't work at all. Amalomahani. This sounds like a classic Rova case. The Torah tells you can't do it. And guess what? You can't do it. You're unable to do it. Tiyufta de Abaye. That's a strong problem or refutation for Rabaye. Damar Chabaye, Shani Hotam, Damar Kra, Reishitam. That the pasuk continues. It says, Kol Chelev Itzar, Kol Chelev Tirosh V'Dagan, Reishitam, Ashreitnu Lashem, Lechad Netatim. So Reishitam is Reishit Lezeh, Reishit Lezeh. Meaning that there's an ikuv here. The Torah tells you twice that you have to have each one of them separate. So it's not only a suggestion, it's not only the right way to do it, but it's also the ikuv to the point where it's ineffective. Reshitam. Only if you separate reshit lezeh does it work. V'chein amar Rabbi Yilah, and Rabbi Yilah says a similar thing. Reshit or reshitam is the differentiating factor over here. That does present a little bit of an interesting issue for Rabbi Yilah. As we just saw it now, Rabbi Yilah says, Nesiat Chait, by the other case, which teaches you that by the case of Truma Ra'ala Yafa, that it's effective. And then over here, he's using Reshitam to tell you that it is ineffective. That means that, according to Rabbi Yilah, in both cases, I needed a pasuk. The other one I needed a pasuk to tell you was effective. And over here, I need a pasuk to tell you it's ineffective. Which means that he holds neither like Abaye nor like Rava. So what is exactly Rabbi Yilah's position seems to be unclear here, but it's interesting just to note that Rabbi Yilah shows up in both cases, one case supporting Rava's contention, and now over here supporting Abaye's contention. Ula Rava, so what does Rava do with Reshitam? Ilav damar Rachmana Reshit, had it not written Reshitam in the Pasuk, Havamina Tirosh V'Yitzhar Dechtibu Chelev, then when it says in the Pasuk, I read it to you a number of times, I'll read it again, Kol Chelev Yitzhar, Kol Chelev Tirosh, V'dagan. The word chelev appears twice, yet there are three different products that are mentioned there. Itzar, oil, tirosh, wine, and dagan is grains. Chelev only appears with the itzar and the tirosh. It doesn't appear with the dagan. So therefore, I would have thought that where there is v'chu chelev, dein tomim izel zeh, those are the items that you can't mix and match. About tirosh v'dagan? Tirosh and dagan, they don't have any chelev between them. V'dagan. And different grains, the chad chelev ktibo, they only have one chelev modifying them. Kitar mihaya hai. If they did one on the other, obviously lolaki is not the right word over here. It must mean that it would have been successful, that it would have been effective in this case. Kitar mihaya hai. Then it would have been effective type of trumat. That would have been yahavamina. Katav rachmana reshitam. So the Torah wrote reshitam to teach you liten chelev lezeh vechelev lezeh, to teach you that not only is the chelev applicable to the Itzar and the Tirosh, but it's also applicable to the Tirosh and the Dagan, and to Dagan and Dagan. That's the view of Rava. Now, and obviously, Baye does not have that with regards to Reshitam, and he's going to have to learn it from the Gemara brings in Bechorot, other Limudim over here, as to how we know that each of the produce or other product items here have to be separate, so he'll have to subscribe to one of those positions in the Gemara in Bechorot, that separates them in a different manner than using Reishitam. Alright. Now, the Shita over here says to skip the Lishna Achrina that says over here. Just before I start on this, I'm just going to make a note about Abaye's position, which is that the Gemara's questions are somewhat difficult only because Abaye's position is that when the Torah tells you you can't do something, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It means that you can do it. It's just that the Torah is going to penalize you for doing it. Now, it's one thing when you speak about a physical action that you're taking against the Torah. The Torah says don't steal, and you go ahead and steal. So you're able to steal, you're able to take that action, and you'll be chayav for it. The Torah says don't eat non-kosher items. You eat the non-kosher items, so you're able to eat the non-kosher items, but you're going to be held culpable for it. Now, in these situations, the Torah has something that is not a given that it should work had it not been for the Torah. So in the cases of Truma, the whole world of Truma is created by the Torah. And so when Abaye says the Torah tells you don't do something, meaning that the Torah is the one who's prescribing that this is even an action, that the fact that this produce are separate, or that you can't mix this and mix that, that's not something where your action should have any impact. Because your action is only effective because the Torah says that's what you need to do or that's how you can do it. So in the background, I just say that it's interesting that the Gemara never answers that on behalf of Abaye to say, look, the Torah tells you in these cases it doesn't work. And the Torah is the one who created this whole world of Truma. The Torah is the one who created this whole world or whatever it is, because these aren't things where you can act against the Torah, because the Torah is the one who created whatever world it is there. It's a world that only exists because of the Torah, and since that's the case, the Torah gets to prescribe the rules for it. But I think that the Gemara does not answer that on behalf of Abaye because of the examples that we gave before. I assume that Rava says that when you eat non-kosher meat, it's effective, meaning that he can't say that you didn't eat non-kosher meat. You ate non-kosher meat. So it's obvious in cases where your action defies the Torah in an active manner, that Rava has to agree that your action is effective just like Abaye. So that means that they can't be arguing about those cases. The cases they must be arguing about are where the Torah prescribed something and created a world. And even so, even though the world was created by the Torah, Abaye says that you still have the ability to violate the word of the Torah, to go against the word of the Torah. And that's why the Gemara never gives that answer on behalf of Abaye, even though that would seem to me to be the most obvious answer on Abaye's behalf. Right now, the Gemara says, Varei Charamim. We had this already in Arachin, which is Amar Chmana, with regards to the Charamim that we found in Perek Chav Zayin. We spent a lot of time on this in Arachin. Ach kocher mesher yachrim ish l'ashem, mikol eshelo mehadam ubeimam, misteh achuzato, lo yimacher velo yigael. There is a requirement not to sell it, not to redeem it. Vitnan. And we also had a Mishnah, chamei kohanim, ein podim otam, or ein lahem pijon, that they don't have the ability to be redeemed. Ela notanim the kohen. You have to give them to the kohen. So you have here a statement in the Mishnah, which is basically that you're ineffective in doing the pijon, which is that if you try to redeem them, it's ineffective. That's why you have to give it to the kohen. So we're speaking about charmei kohanim, which is a machloket we saw in Arachin as to whether stam charamim or the kohanim, or if you specified it's charam the kohen, that's only when it's a charam the kohen. Whichever position you take, here there was a cherem lekohanim. The Torah tells you about cherem lekohanim, lo yimacher velo yigael, that you do not have the ability to sell it, you don't have the ability to redeem it. And then you have a Mishnah telling you that ein lahem pijon, there's no way to redeem them. That basically says, the Torah says you can't do it, means you can't do it. It's ineffective. And you have to give it to the kohen. Ama lo mahane. So you see here that your action is ineffective when the Torah tells you you can't do it. So the Gemara says, that's a strong refutation of Abaye's position. Amar lecha Abaye, shiny hotam. Over there it's different. Amar rachmana, the pasuk completes itself when it says, kol cherim, kodesh kodoshim, hu lashem. And he says the word, hu is bahaviyato yehe, which is that you're unable to remove the kedusha from the charmei kohanim because it says hu. Bahaviyato yehe, no matter what you try to do to it, it doesn't work. It's ineffective in removing the kedusha from the cherim, and that's why it's ineffective, because the Torah tells you it's ineffective. Not because the Torah told you you're not allowed to do it, it's because the Torah told you the Kedusha remains with this item. V'rava, hayu, what does he do with this? The me'ute bechor. We saw this back in Bechorot. It comes to exclude a bechor, because by the bechor, you also have a restriction, is ach bechor shor, or bechor kesef, or bechor ez lo tifdeh. So there it says, lo tifdeh. you may not redeem it. So you would have thought when it says lo tifteh, you may not redeem it, that means lo yimacher v'lo yigael. The same thing that it means by charamim, which means that not redeeming it means not selling it and not redeeming it. Both of those are restricted. Along comes the word hu to tell you that's only true by charamim, but that's not true by bechor. By bechor, the only restriction is pidyon, but mechira is allowed. And that is, you're allowed to sell a bechor. A kohen who gets a bechor, he, especially if it's a bechor balmum, we'll talk about, he's allowed to sell it to another kohen. He's allowed to sell it to Israel. There's a problem in the Girsa Rashi of the kohen over here. It seems to be very problematic. It's not that you can sell it to a kohen. A kohen can sell it to anyone who he wants. They just have to treat it with kedushat bechor. So that's what it's coming to teach you, the Tanya, because we have a brayta bebechor ne'amar lo tifdeh. By bechor it says, do not redeem it. V'nim karhu, and you're allowed to sell it. B'maser ne'amar, by maser, in the parsha of Chavzayin, it says, kol masar bekar betzon, kol ha-shevor tachar ha-shavet, ha-siyei kodesh la-shem, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu, imamer yimirenu v'yu, t'murato yeh kodesh, lo yigael. You can't redeem the maser behema. You would have thought that they have the same din, which is the bechor says lo tifteh, and the maser says lo yigael. And yet, when it comes to the bechor, is nimkar. You're allowed to sell it. When it comes to the maser, enu nimkar, lo chai v'lo shachut, lo tam v'lo balmum. Now they sell it when it's still alive, when it's already shachut, when it's a tam, when it's a balmum. So then, why is it that there's a distinction between them? That is because we assume that the lo yigael that is found by maser behema connects back to the lo yigael by charamim. And that Gzeres Shavah teaches you that the lo yigael that is true by charamim, which is lo yigael v'lo yimacher, applies to the lo yigael of maaser behema, and therefore it's lo yigael v'lo yimacher. Now, you would have done the same thing for bechor as well, which it says lo tifdeh. And it was said just like the lo yigael means lo yigael v'lo yimacher, so too by bechor it should be lo tifdeh and lo timacher, except you have the word hu. And the word hu makes a miut over here to tell you bechor is accepted from this din of charamim, and therefore it only has a restriction of lo yifdeh, lo tifdeh, but it does not have a restriction of lo yimacher. And that's what Rava uses the word hu for. And then Tosafot asks, well, what does Abaye do then? How does Abaye know that bechor is excluded over here? Bim tomar la Abaye the muki hu b'aviyato, yehei, the mute bechor min alay. Where does he have that from? So it says, v'omaram delefi amaskana neicha. Through the conclusion of the Gemara, it's okay, the nafkine bebechor, the avid lo mahani umaser yalef me'avara havara mi'bechor. You have a gzer shava that would have taught you from bechor to maaser, which means that just like bechor, it's only lo tifteh and not me'mechira. So you would have thought to apply that to maaser be'ema as well, from havara havara, which is kol sheyavor tachar ha-shevet, and from bechor barato kol peter rechem. So then you would have learned from bechor to maaser be'ema. How do I know that maaser be'ema shouldn't be learned from bechor? That's because you have lo yigael, lo yigael. You have gala, gala, you have gzer shava. So it's working in the opposite direction. So bechor is assumed not to have mechira, but the conclusion of the Gemara is that you would have learned maaser from bechor, except for the fact that there's a gzer shava learning it from charamim. That means bechor is assumed not to have been included in this din, and therefore that's what Abaye will subscribe to, that bechor is not a part and parcel of this din. Next question, Varet Mura. Damar Rachmano lo yachlifenu velo yamiroto. Torah tells you not allowed to do this. Betana lo shadam rashay la'amir. Not that you have permission to do such. Elo shemeimir mumar. If you do it, you are successful. V'sofeget ha'arbaim. And you get malkot. Alma mahane. You see that it works. Tiyufta de Rova. That's a strong refutation of Rova's position. Amelcha shani hotam damar kra. Vayahu t'marato iya kodesh. It's pretty straightforward. The Torah tells you that's what the outcome is. Again, it's a gzeret ha-katuv. It wouldn't have worked, but the Torah tells you it does work. So now what about Abaye? Abaye would have said it worked anyway. So why do you need v'hayahu t'murato yakodesh? Ilav damar rachmana v'hayahu t'murato. Had you not said that, hava mina teitzei zu v'tikanei zu. Yeah, it'll be effective. You know how it'll be effective? The Kedusha will leave the animal that's kadosh and go on to the animal that's kulin. That's what you're trying to do. So if you were effective, you would actually have the second animal be kadosh. The first animal would lose its Kedusha. Kamash malan v'hayahu t'murato yakodesh. It turns out to be very interesting that the Vayahu Tuhu Tumurato Kodesh is actually a Chiddush in a different direction for each one of them. According to Rava, the Vayahu Tumurato Yakodesh is a Chiddush that the second animal is Kadosh. The first animal is kadosh by definition because your action would have been ineffective. But now the Torah tells you that it's effective and it makes the second animal kadosh. According to Abaye, it's just the opposite way around. According to Abaye, the second animal would have been kadosh because your action would have been effective. That means you would have transferred the kedusha from the animal that's kadosh to the chulin. Vayahu Tmurat Torah Ki Kodesh comes to teach you that the first animal remains kadosh. That's an interesting difference about what the chiddush is Vayahu Tmurat Torah Ki Kodesh according to Abaye and Rava. Vari Bechor. What about Bechor? Damar Rachmano. Again, we're quoting from that pasuk in Parshat Korach, Perek Yudchet, pasuk Yudzayin, that lo tifteh, that you may not redeem it. It's non. And we have a Mishnah that tells us, yesh lahen pidyon, ulu tmuratehen pidyon, chutz min habechor umin hamaser. It's a Mishnah later on in our Masechta that tells us in the Gdin of Tmurah that any other forms of kodoshim, that they can be redeemed if they get a mominem, and they make Tmurah. And therefore, their tmurah can also have pidyon when it gets a mum in it. Bechor and maser are the exception to the rule, whereby they can't be redeemed, and their tmurot can't be redeemed. Alma lo mahani. You see here, when it says about the bechor, lo tifdeh, means you can't do it. You're unable to redeem the animal. Tiyufta da Abaye. Again, that's a problem for Abaye. Why is it that you can't redeem the animal? If the Torah says you can't redeem it, fine, but you should be able to redeem it and then be in violation of the law. Amar lecha Abaye, shani hotam, over there it's different. Amar kra, haim, v'avyatam, yehu. So the pasuk again says, ach b'chor shor, b'chor kesef, b'chor eiz, lo tifteh, kodesh, haim. So the haim over there says that, v'avyatam, yehu, you can't remove the kedusha from them. You're unable to do the pidyon, which is that the Torah says that even though normally it would be effective, over here, you are ineffective. Ularava hai haim, Mamale. What does Rava need the haim for? He thinks that it's ineffective even without the haim. So he says, haim krevim, vein tmuratan krevim. B'chor maser go on the mizbeach, but their tmurot don't go on the mizbeach. When you create tmurah v'maser v'ema, or you create tmurah v'b'chor, that tmurah can't go on the mizbeach, as opposed to other korbanot where the tmurah might end up on the mizbeach. Where it says, l'bayi ha'isvara minole. So where does Rabbi know that from? He also needs to distinguish between Bechor Maser and their Tmurot. He says that's what he learns out from the Pasuk in Vayikra Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chavov, Ach Bechor Shei Bukar LaShem Be'imah Lo'ikdish Lishnato, Im Shor, Im Seh, LaShem Hu. And so he learns out from this, Hu Kariv, Vein Tmurato Kreva, that it goes on the Mizbeach, but not its Tmurah. So he has the word Hu over there in Pasuk Chavov, in Perek Chav Zayin, that it tells you over there that only it goes on the Mizbeach, not anything else. V'Rava, what about Rava? What does he do with the word who over there? Enochanami. He learns out the same thing from that pasuk over there, who. So he learns out also that who karev, ve'in tmurato karev, from the same pasuk Abaye learns it from in Perek Chav Zayin. Elohim lamali. Then you're back to square one. What does Rava do with ve'in? Limed al-bechor umaser shenitarev daman b'chol ha'olim shekrevin. It teaches you that if a Bechor and a Maser, that's why it says Haim over there, Haim, if both of them, they get mixed up together, their blood gets mixed up together, if you put that blood on the Mizbeach, you are successful in being Makriv, both Korbanot. And as Rashi says, you can eat the Basar, it's as if it was a Kosher Korban. Now, we learned that from Bechor and Maser, and then we extrapolate that to all other Korbanot, to teach you that anything that goes on the Mizbeach, if the Dam gets mixed up, then the Dam is not Mevatel each other, and cholalim shekrevim the gam mizbeach, and it's put on the mizbeach. So then, where does Abaye know that from? He knows that from the din of Yom Kippur, where it says, "V'lakach midam apar umidam aseir." He takes from the dam apar dam aseir after they've done the matnot in the kodesh hakodeshim, and in front of the parochet, there's a last series of matnot that are done in the mizbeach hazahav. Over there, it says, "V'lakach midam apar umidam aseir." You take from both the par and seir's blood. According to this, you mix them together. And then you put the matnot on the mizbeach. Below dama par merubeh mi dama seir, isn't the blood of a cow overwhelming to a dama seir, and it would be mvatel the dama seir. Nevertheless, the Torah says, v'lakach mi dama par umi dama seir. It still calls it dama seir even after they're mixed together. Mikan lo olin shemavilin mivatlin zezeh. From here you see that dam is not mvatel dam, and that things that go on the mizbeach don't wipe each other out if that dam goes on the mizbeach. It's as if you're makriv both korbanot on the mizbeach. Detanya, lakach midam aparu midam aseir, shemu ravim, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. The Rabbi Yoshia says that that pasuk demands you mix the par and the seir's blood together. Since you mix them together, and it still calls it dam apar and dam aseir, shows you that they're not mevatel each other, and that's the din he learns from here. Birava, hotam, mizeh bifnei atzmo, or mazeh, bifnei atzmo, umaze bifnei atzmo, which is that you do each one of them separately. When it says lekach midama par umidama seir, it comes to teach you that you take from the dama par and do this, and then you take from the dama seir and you repeat it afterwards. Misaber lak Rabbi Yonatan, and he holds like Rabbi Yonatan, who argues on Rabbi Yoshia over there, and Rabbi Yonatan says that dama par and dama seir are brought on separately, so they're not mixed together. If they're not mixed together, you can't learn this din. Their machloket revolves around the pasuk that says achat b'shana, that once a year you're allowed to put the dam on the mizbech zahav, and from that Rabbi Yoshia learns achat b'shana means one time. One time means you got to mix them together, and you only get one shot at putting the dam on the mizbech. Obviously, Rabbi Yonatan disagrees and says achat b'shana means once a year, not one time during the year, and therefore, even though you're putting on the dam apar and dam asir, it's all done on Yom HaKippurim. It also might relate separately to their machloket, which is when you have two items that are mentioned in a pasuk, they have a machloket as to whether the vav that is mechaber these items is an and, by which you need both of them, or is it an or, which means that either one of them. So, obviously here you have to put both on in this case, but that machloket might also be influential or maybe affect their positions with regards to this as well. Alright, now the Gemara addressed over here b'chor, but what it didn't address is maser. That's what Rashi points out. Just wait a second, and the Gemara's going to get to maser as well. Because the Gemara over here says there's no pidyon by b'chor, and there's no pidyon by maser. The only thing we addressed in the end is why by b'chor there is no pidyon according to Abayi. What you never addressed is why by maser is there no pidyon. It says lo yigael, but why is that a problem? Sorry, maser. Tamar rachmano lo yigael. It says in the pasuk in Perchav Zayin pasuk, lamed gimel lo yigael, it's not. The same Mishnah we quoted from later on in the Masechta, that all other Kodashim, you have the ability to redeem them, with the exception of Bechor and Maser. So Maser, it's ineffective. Amalo Mahani. So you see, it doesn't work. Tiyufta de Abaye. Once again, that's a strong refutation of Abaye's position. Amalacha. Abaye, Shani Hotam, Tialif, Evra, Evra, Mi Bechor. Just like by Bechor, we learned before that the Haim means Vahabiyatam, Yehei Kadosh. We learn out of Gzera Shava of Habara, Habara. Here it's written with regards to the Maiser Behema, Kol Asher Yavor Tacha Ta Shavet. And in Pashat Bo, it says, Vavarta Kol Peter Rechem. And so Habara, Habara teaches you a lot of halakot that move back and forth between Maiser Behema and Bechor. And this will be one of them. Just like Bechor, the Kedusha remains intact and you're unable to redeem it, according to Abaye, because of the word Haim that's found in Pashat Korach. So too, the Maaser Behema is subject to that same ruling. And obviously, Rava doesn't need to respond to that Gzera Shava of Abaye, because he doesn't necessarily have to subscribe to that Gzera Shava. Or you can say that the Gzera Shava is for a different purpose, like the many other halachot that we learn from Bechor and Maaser Behema, one to the other. Alright, next. Vare Yigdima Chuma Lebikurim. A person switches the order, the hierarchy, in which they're supposed to do things. If you take off the Chuma before you take off the Bikurim, Tamar Rachmana over there, it's a violation because the Torah says, Le'atcha v'dimacha lo te'acher. That's what we spent our time on yesterday discussing what exactly that restriction is. V'tnan. And the Mishnah says, Amakdim, afo pi shu belo tase, mash'asa asui. Even though the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do it, and you shouldn't do it, if you did it, it's done. So again, that should be Tiyufta de Rova. That's a strong refutation of Rova's position. Amar Lecha Rova, Shani Hotam. Over there, it's different. Amar Kra. Because the pasuk says, again, the same pasuk was quoted yesterday, but it's the incorrect quote, and throughout the yesterday's daf and today's daf, the quote should not be mikol masrotechem, but rather mikol matnotechem, which is mikol matnotechem, tarimu et kol tumat Hashem, mikol chavo, mikdasho mimenu, which teaches you that there is a requirement of matnot to be given of truma. And that, the requirement of matnot truma is both before you do it right way or you do it the wrong way. There's an assay that is continuous over here, and this is the pasuk that we quoted before to say that's a lav hanitak the assay, because this assay exists, that no matter what, you have to take off the truma, no matter if you do it in the right order, or if you do it in the wrong order. Now, even though that pasuk is not speaking about truma versus bikurim, but rather truma versus maaser, we said in yesterday's daf that this din of le'atcha v'dimacha lo ta'acher has application to the whole hierarchy, the whole stack of what you have to take off. It applies to all of them. So then, once we determine that one of them has an assay that tells you it works, then we're going to say it for all of the items there, and that include Truma and Bikurim as well. Ule Abaye. What's Abaye going to do with Mikomat Nechem? He needs it for the discussion between Rav Papa and Abaye in Masechet Beitzah, which is that the Gemara in Beitzah learns from the Psukim in Parshat Korach that you have to give, the Levi has to give Trumat Maser from the Maser that he gets. And they darshan from that. Elavim to the bear of Amartalem, Tichum Eit B'nei Sota Maser, when they get their Maser Rishon, Asher Natati Lechem Itam Anachalatchem, Ve'arov Motem Mimenu Trumat Hashem Maser Min HaMaser. You have to take off from that Trumat Maser. The Gemara darshan's about that, Maser Min HaMaser, Velo Truma U'Trumat Maser Min HaMaser. You have to take off only Trumat Maser, you don't have to take off Truma. From that, the Gemara learns that if you're Makdim, if the Levi shows up as Shibolim, when the grain is still in its stalks, and he says, you know what, I want my Maaser Rishon right now. And the Balim give them their Maaser Rishon right then. So then, that Levi, when he goes home, he only has to take off Trumat Maser, he has to take off the 10% from his 10% that he took. He does not have to take off Trumat Gdolah, even though Trumat Gdolah was not taken off of this item at all. Nevertheless, the pasuk says, "Maser mina maser, velo trumat maser v'trumat gdolah mina maser," and therefore you only have to take off trumat maser, not maser. Rav Papa asks Abaye, "Well, why is that true only when you took it off b'shibolim? Why isn't it true when you also take it off in the kri? When you also take it off later on? What makes a difference?" So he says, "Ve'ala mi'ato afilu ikdimo b'kri." So nami nipater. Why does it have to be only when he goes in the shibolim and takes his maser that he only takes off Trumat Maser, not Trumat Gdolah? Why not when it's already in Gemar Melocha? Why don't you say the same thing? So over there you should also be patur from Trumat Gdolah. Amalei, Abaye says back to Rav Papa, Alacha Amar Akra. The Pasuk says about you, this Pasuk that we just quoted, Mikol Matnuchem Tarimu Et Kol Trumat Hashem. From any Matanah you have to take off Trumat Gdolah. Trumat Gdolah is always taken off, no matter what. Mikol Bechabod, Mikdasho Mimenu. No matter what you have, you have to take off Trumat. So Ma ra'ita l'rabot et akri lotzi et ha-shibolim. So now you have a problem. I have one pasuk telling me only trumat maser, not trumat gdolah. I have another pasuk telling me that it's truma no matter what. That means trumat gdolah and trumat maser are taken off. So what was the answer? The answer is if he takes it early by the shibolim, he only takes off trumat maser. If he takes it off in the kri, he has to give both trumat gdolah and trumat maser for what he took, the Levi. And why is that? What's the logic? Ma ra'ita l'rabot et akri lotzi et ha-shibolim. Because you've already reached the point of Gemar Malocha where you're chayiv for Truma already. You're already at the point where there's a chiyuv Truma. Once there's a chiyuv Truma and the Levi jumps the gun and takes his Maser, he's got to take off both Truma and he's got to take off Trumat Maser. But if you took it at the Shibalim, there wasn't yet a chiyuv Truma associated with it. He took it too early before there was a Gemar Malocha, and therefore over there he only has to take off Trumat Maser. He doesn't have to take off Truma Gdolah. So it turns out that in that case, the Levi will benefit from doing such. If he takes off from the Shibolim, he'll take 10% of 100. 10% of 100 is 10. And then he has to give 1 to the Kohen because he has to give Trumat Maser. That means that he's left with 9 if he does it that way. Whereas if he does it by a regular case, in a normal case, the Truma Gdolah would have been taken off first, which is 2%. That means you're left with 98. Maaser Rishon is 9.8. So out of that, he'll have to give 0.98 to the Kohen, and then you're left with 88.2 for the Baalim, and then the Levi himself is left with 8.82. So the Levi actually ends up with more if he takes it earlier and doesn't have to take off Truma Gdolah. The Kohen loses out in that case. The Baalim, in both cases, end up with the same amount, which is that they only end up with their 88.2. But the Levi and Kohen distribution between them will be affected by whether the Levi takes it up front or doesn't take it up front. Right now, Varei Almana Kohen Gadol. What about in Parshat Amor where it says that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana? Rachman Amar, Amugra Ugrusha Lo Ikach. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow, he's not allowed to marry a divorcee. Vitznan, Kol Makom Sheish Kiddushim V'yesh Aveira. Anywhere where the Kiddushim are effective and there is an Aveira in that Kiddushin, then the Vlad goes after the problematic party in the Kiddushin. So over here, the assumption being that the marriage of a Kohen Gadol to an Almana is effective in terms of Kiddushin. Since it's effective in terms of Kiddushin, the Vlad is going to follow the Begam over here. The Begam is that this woman is now a Chalala, a Zona, and therefore the child that is born will be a Chalal or be a Chalala if it's a girl. So you see here, that even though there was a restriction against the Kohen Gadol marrying the Almanah, when he does it, it's effective, and the child born has impact, or is impacted by that. The Gemara says, so it should be Tiyuv to the Rava, and then the Gemara will say, Amar lecha Rava, Shani Hocha, Damakra, Lo Yichalel Zaro. It says over here, the reason he shouldn't do this is so that he doesn't profane his offspring. So what does that mean, Lo Yichalel Zaro? The drush or the diuk we make is, Lo Yichalel Zaro. If he does this, his Zera will be profaned, will be Chalalim, but they will not be Mamzerim. They are Chalalim, not Mamzerim. What that shows you is that the Kiddushin are effective. Because a Mamzer can only be created by a case where there's no Kiddushin. Mamzer, or the definition of a Mamzer, is a relationship in which the Kiddushin are ineffective. That's not the only qualification. And even though, as Tosafot points out, that this is not an absolute situation, because there are Dayot that believe that even when there is no Kiddushin, there's still not Mamzerut, but nevertheless, the lack of Kiddushin is a prerequisite for Mamzerut, even though it's not sufficient. You might need something else, like a Chiyuv Mitat Beitin, or some other item that makes it into Mamzerut. But a prerequisite for Mamzerut is a lack of Kiddushin. And that means if there's no Mamzerut over here, in all likelihood there is Kiddushin over here. Even though technically there is a possibility of no Mamzerut and still no Kiddushin, that is only according to the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua, but according to others, she told that that's not the case. So the fact that it calls it a halal and not a mamzer shows you that the Kiddushin were effective over here. And that's what Rava's saying. Rava's saying the Torah is telling you that the Kiddushin are effective, even though normally they would not be. Ula Abaye. So according to Abaye, what is the lo yichalel needed for? According to him, of course the Kiddushin are effective over here. He says, Abaye name akra lo yachel. The Pasuk could have said lo yachel. What's the double lamed for over here? Echad lo vechad la. I teach you that two people are impacted over here. Both the woman, the almanah herself, is affected by this relationship. She's a chlala, a zonah. And the child that is born is also a chalal. So that's the chiddush over here, is that lo yichalel adds on. And that's what Tosafot points out, that it must have been also that Rava was learning it from the extra lamed. Because otherwise, what's Abaye saying, lo yichel would have been sufficient, and the extra lamed teaches you this item. Meaning that, according to Abaye, you wouldn't need it at all. So it must be that Rava is learning it from the extra lamed, and lo yichel is important to tell us that the offspring over here are chalalim. But it also tells you, lo yichalel, that the woman herself is also impacted by this. Harei hikdish bali mumin lemizbeach. Here, we're going to learn this later on in the Masechta, that, number one, something that's a bal mum, you're not going to be makdishit to mizbeach, you're going to be makdishit to berek habayit, and vice versa. Something that is a tamim, you're only allowed to put it on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to put it into berek habayit, and the Gemara is going to ask from both of those. Someone is makdish, something that's a bal mum to mizbeach, which they're not allowed to do. The Rachman Amar, the Pasuk says in Parshat Emor, kol asher bo mum, lo takrivu, ki lo leratzon yelachem. So that anything that has a mum in it, lo takrivu, don't put it on the mizbeach. And we're going to say that kol asher bo mum, lo takrivu means not only you can't put on mizbeach, lo takrivu, lo takdishu, you can't even be makdish, such an item. You see over here that there's a restriction against putting a bal mum on the mizbeach or being even makdish a bal mum lemizbeach. Vitznan, and we have a Mishnah that tells us a makdish bali mumim legabe mizbeach afo pi shehu belotase, even though it is a lotase mashasa asui. Whatever he did is done. And you can see here in the Masorah Shas that he says that it should be vitanya, not vitanan, because we don't have any Mishnah like this. There are those that claim that it's associated with the Mishnah in Bechorot, which is that we said that kol kodashim shekadam mum kavua lehekdesham v'nifdu, which implies that as long as they were not redeemed, that they do have kedusha, or the kedusha was successful at devolving upon them. Tiyuv to the Rava. Again, that's a strong refutation of Rava's position. Amalacha Rava shani hatam damakra uleneder lo yiratzeh. Rava shor v'sev sarul v'kalut nidavat haseoto uleneder lo yiratzeh. You have to make those into nidavot. You cannot make them into a neder. Ritzihu de lo miratzeh. Why does the puzzle tell you, le neder lo yiratzeh? Of course, le neder lo yiratzeh, because these are mumim, and you already told me that mumim, you're allowed to put on the mizbeach. So what's the additional statement of here, le neder lo yiratzeh? That comes to be middayek from it, ritzihu de lo miratzeh, hamikdosh kodesh. That there's no ritzui, you can't put it on the mizbeach, but your kodesh or your hekdesh is successful at taking effect on the animal. So again, I have here a pasuk that tells me that it is effective according to Rava. Although you can see from Rashi that we quote the same pasuk that we said before, which is Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Takrivu Ki Lo LeRatzon Yelachem, and that his diuk is out of that pasuk of Lo LeRatzon Yelachem rather than from Neder Lo Yiratzeh. Ule Baye, according to Baye, what do you need with Neder Lo Yiratzeh? According to him, it would be effective anyway. So Baye Ilo Do Amar Rachmano Le Neder Lo Yiratzeh, had it not said that Havamina Kover Mitzvah V'Kasher, that I would have thought that it means that if I can violate the law of the Torah, means that I can be makdishin against the will of the Torah, and then I can put it on the Mizbeach, because that's my right to do such. Kamash Malan, lo yiratzeh. It will not be accepted. And from Rashi, it sounds like you could put on the Mizbeach the Baal Mum, and it would be a kosher korban, which is obviously very difficult, because the suggestion is that he would put a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Sfat Emet makes the suggestion here that it's still restricted. You wouldn't be able to put a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach. But if you did do that and put the Baal Mum on the Mizbeach, kasher, the Kurban would be kasher, the basar would be mutar, ba'achila. And that's what the kasher means over here. Not that we're allowing you to put a Baal Mum on his back, but if you did put on the Baal Mum on his back and you violated these Yisurim, the Kurban would be a kasher Kurban. And now, the last thing we're going to do today, very makdish, tmimim, the bedek abayit. Someone who's makdish, tmimim, that are supposed to go on the Mizbeach, and instead he did it the bedek abayit. Da marachmana nidava taseuto. It's the same pasuk that we just read over here. Shor vesev saru vekalut nidava taseuto. Ule neder lo yiratzeh. Ze kodshei berek habayit. Nidava means you give it to berek habayit. Vitnan, and we have the Mishnah, makdish tmimim to berek habayit. Someone is makdish tmimim to berek habayit. Afa pishu below taseh masha asa asui. Even though it's restricted, you're not allowed to do that because of nidava taseh oto. Nevertheless, it's masha asa asui. Now the truth is, there's no lo taseh over here. By neder, it says neder lo yiratzeh. By nedava, it says nedava tase oto. You have to make it into nedava. I don't see any lav here. So either you have to say that it is a lava bamiklal ase. If you say it's an iser ase, that would mean that the bayin rabba's makloket, which is the case, also applies by the violation of an ase, not just by the violation of a lo tase. Or Rashi introduces the possibility that it is vaydaber shem moshe lemor at the beginning of the parsha, and lemor means lo amur. That there's a lota says said about everything in the parsha, and that's where the lav comes from, according to Rashi. So again, here it's diuk to the Rava. That's a problem, a strong refutation of Rava's position. Over here, you have something you're not allowed to do, yet it is effective. It's not, and similarly over here, there are those that want to change it to Vitanya, but if you look in Od Bet of the Shita Mekuvetzet, he quotes from the Rabbeinu Baruch that says that this Mishnah is the Mishnah that's found in Shkalim that discusses Emakdish Kol Nechasav. Someone is makdish all of his possessions, but over there we have a machlok at Tanaim as to what happens with regards to those possessions. And according to one of the opinions over there, that if he has amongst those items animals that are ro'oi the mizbeach, then he has to sell them off to be used for the mizbeach, and the proceeds go to the berek habayit. And so you see over there that a person can be matpis tamimim the berek habayit, because in the end the value of these animals goes to the Berek HaBayit, and therefore you see from that Mishnah in Shkalim that you are successful at being Makdish a Tamim, the Berek HaBayit. What exactly you do with this animal is not clear. The Rambam believes that you sell the animal off, the proceeds go to Kodshei Berek HaBayit, and the animal itself has to be sold to someone to be put on the Mizbeach. If that's the case, then what you say, Ma Shasa Soy, is Lav Davka. It's not exactly Ma Shasa Soy, because in the end, you end up with an animal that needs to go on the Mizbeach, just that your neder, or what you intended, which was to donate these monies to Berek HaBayit, that is carried out, or that is fulfilled in the end. That's what it means, Mashasa Sui. The Sfat Emet then goes on to question, then, why is it even a question on Rav over here? Because in the end, it really isn't Mashasa Sui, because you wanted to make it to Berek HaBayit, in the end, the animals end up on the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Sfat Emet favors the position of the Mishnah the Melech, who says that Kol HaDavar Roi the Mizbeach, and it would say Mizbeach the Olam is only Din Derabanan, not a Din Doraita. And therefore, over here, the animal would actually go out the Chulin, Midoraita. The monies would be given to Berek HaBayit, and the animal would be Chulin, and would not go on the Mizbeach at all. And that's why it's Masha Sasui, Midorabanan, it needs to be sold to be put on the Mizbeach, Midoraita. It's Chulin the Gamre. And that's why it's a question on Rava, because you really are successful at making it into something that's Kodesh, the Berek HaBayit, and its proceeds go to the Berek HaBayit when it's sold off. And once it's sold off, it becomes Chulin the Gamre, and therefore you did accomplish what you intended to do. He says the pasuk's the same pasuk, which is v'shor v'seserum ekalut nidavat hase oto. No, the neder lo yiretze. They're juxtaposed to each other in the pasuk. Nidava is berek abayit. Neder is mizbeach. By neder, by mizbeach, we said lo yiretze. Ritzui enu se hekdesh. It is effective at doing. So just like by kodesh mizbeach, it's effective when you take a baal mum and you're makadesh the mizbeach. Because of neder lo yiretzeh, that juxtaposition to nedava taseoto tells you that also by tmimim, that your makdish the berek abayit, it's also effective even though there is a restriction against doing that, whether it's an isur aseh or whether it's a lo taseh from leimor. Okay? Gonna stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Amid Aleph.